Abba, Father, we do thank you for this day. What a blessed day. It is blessed because we are here together. I recognize, maybe not physically, but we are drawn together spiritually in your presence. And so, Father, we thank you and we rejoice in that. Father, we also come today to thank you for that very precious gift that mothers have been in each of our lives. Father, for the sacrifices they have made throughout the years, for their thoughts and their prayers and their times of worry, because they love us. Father, we thank you that you have given them your heart. So today, Father, as we gather here, we desire to lift them up to you in prayer and to honor them. Father, we ask just now that you would lift whatever burdens are weighing us down, that you would allow us to sit them down, to actually turn them over to you and not pick them up again, Father, but just to trust you with them. Thank you so much for the leaders of this country and the leaders around the world, Father. But we pray for them because we desire them to seek you. We desire them to find you and to seek your wisdom in dealing with the struggles and especially the pandemic that we're in now. Father, thank you for the young men and women of our armed forces as they continue to stand in the gap and to allow us the freedom to be able to be with you and to worship you in this way. Father, just now, would you calm our hearts? Would you open our eyes to see, our ears to hear? Father, set me, your servant, aside and come now and speak boldly your word. We ask all of this in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. This morning's message is really, maybe at least hopefully, less of a typical message and more of a prayer of thanksgiving. Because what I want to say, and I would pray that most of you would echo this thought, this sentiment, that it would be your heart's cry today, and that it would go something like this. Lord, I don't know where I would be without the precious gift you have given me in my mother. Thank you for making her a woman who could love infinitely, who disciplined gently, who forgave continually, and most of all, was the light of the world who led me to you. No words of any message can do justice to the one we call mother. So the best I can do, the best that we can do, is lift our mothers up to you today in prayers of thanksgiving and say, thank you, Lord, for making a mother for me in the mold and the character of our Savior, but also, Father, in the mold and the character of many godly women throughout Scripture, especially today as we look at those who impacted the life of young Timothy, the protege of Paul, a man of great faith. I came across this quote that has been attributed to George Washington. I'd like to share it with you if I could. It goes like this. My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her. The truth is, we don't know if George Washington actually spoke those words or ever wrote those words. The researchers at the Washington Library and those who study the papers of George Washington have yet to be able to find where he spoke those in a speech or where he wrote those down in any fashion. And yet, I believe that those words are true and words that many of us today can echo because of the example our mothers have been in our lives. Now, I believe most of you know, who know me, know how important and how dear my father was to me. But maybe you don't know this. And that is that I stand here this morning before you as a full-time minister. Not because of my father. Yes, he's the one that, as you've heard me share the story, that caused me to move away from the social or the business world and into a life of ministry by asking me that one Sunday morning, "Richard, why are you not doing what you want to do?" But it was my mother who was that example for me, that shared with me from a very, very young age the love of Jesus. You see, Dad, when Mom and he first met, was not a follower of Jesus Christ. He didn't grow up in a family that espoused any faith at all. They just kind of lived life the way they wanted to live life. There was not a good example for him. And so for the early years of my parents' life and mine and my brother's, it was Mom that was the godly example. It was Mom who shared with us the love of Jesus. It was Mom who instilled in us that passion for following a Savior and for being obedient to His teachings. Every Sunday, she would faithfully get up. She would fix breakfast for a family of six. She would then proceed to get four very young boys ready for church. Dad would go off and do the tinkering that he would do in the garage or whatever it was he might be doing in those moments. And she would get all of us ready, and we would go, and she would get us in the car, and she would drive to church, and there she was. She would walk in with four little tykes holding on to the hem of her skirt, as she would like to say, going into a church building. That was the gift that God gave me through my mother. I also thank God, though, every day for a mother who was an example of a godly woman and a godly wife. Scripture clearly speaks of the dangers of being unequally yoked or a believer being yoked to a non-believer. And young people, I want you to know that you need to listen clearly and closely to those words, because they are true and they are important. It is much more of a blessing if you can attach yourself to someone who knows the Lord. Yet I'm also thankful every day for passages of Scripture that speak something else, where Scripture tells of the strength of a woman whose husband is not a believer, but that she should remain and that she should remain faithful. Scripture that encourages her to be a woman who exemplifies a character that reflects Jesus Christ and leads her husband to a faith in the Lord, which surely my mother did. The passages of Scripture like this that we find in 1 Peter 3, 1 through 4. "In the same way, you wives must accept the authority of your husbands." Don't get so caught up on that. I want you to focus on the next part of this. "Then even if some refuse to obey the good news, your godly lives will speak to them without any words. They will be won over by observing your pure and reverent lives. Don't be concerned about the outward beauty of fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. You should clothe yourselves instead with the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and a quiet spirit, which is so precious to God." The unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. For me, this is a passage that is a picture of who my mom is. You see, she lived this passage out in full measure. She loved my dad with every ounce of her being, and she misses him daily. She spoke volumes to him as a witness to the love of God. As she honored him as husband, as she honored him as father of four boys, she lived in such a way as to live out these words of Peter. Her life spoke the good news of Jesus into her family, and specifically to my dad. And it's not just my mom. There are many, many godly women out there who are mothers that have done exactly the same. I'm so thankful for them and for the lives they have touched. Dad, fortunately, would eventually come to know Jesus as Lord and become a very faithful follower and a godly example of what it means to be a man of God. Yet it was because of my mom's faith in her Savior that she lived out those words that Peter describes as unfading beauty, a gentle and quiet spirit. Many of your mothers did the same, because this verse is true of those having believing husbands as well. Moms are often our first and best glimpse of true love, unconditional love. It was that gentle and quiet spirit which spoke to the heart of not only a husband, but four little boys, and allowed each of us to come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. But our witness is never in a vacuum, folks. And mom's wasn't, and others' mothers are not. She was and is an example to others of a godly woman. And many of you here today are those women as well, godly women who are examples to others, examples to even young children whose parents do not know the Lord. My mother, in a lot of ways, was a mother figure to many young people. In a lot of ways, she reminds me of Paul's description of young Timothy and the foundation of his faith, which we find recorded in Paul's second letter to Timothy, the young pastor who was working in the church at Ephesus. As he served there, Paul wrote these words in 2 Timothy 1:5. I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when He laid my hands on you, when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Now, before we go any further and looking at this text and this example that led Peter to what Paul called was a genuine faith, a sincere faith, an authentic faith, a rock-solid faith. Before we go further and look at that, I want you to see the precious example that Grandmother Lois and Mom Eunice were to Timothy in his youth. I also want you to acknowledge that for you who were blessed to have both parents be people of faith, that you are truly blessed because you got to witness the godly love of a mother and the godly example of a father as you grow in your faith. I want you to know that in no way are your roles diminished in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and being that example to your children, to your grandchildren, but far beyond that, to the children who are here that worship in Monrovia Christian Church, to those in this community. You are examples to all of them. Yet I also acknowledge, as I did in a Mother's Day message just a few years ago, that our mothers are our first glimpse of Jesus Christ with that Christ-like love, that sacrificial love. For I know of very few mothers who would not give everything they have to make sure their children are protected and well cared for. Take, for example, the account of Tomiko Tanaka. Deep in the mountains of Niigata Prefecture, in the snow country of northern Japan, lies this tiny little town of Takamachi. Heavy snowfalls can isolate towns and hamlets in this region for days. During the worst blizzard to hit the area in over 13 years, work crews were attempting to clear the roads in and around Takamichi. On a Thursday, since the snowfall seemed to be letting up, Mrs. Tomiko Tanaka, 37, ventured out on an errand with her young daughter. Her husband had left the house earlier to join the road-clearing crews. While Tomiko and her 7-year-old daughter, Izumi, were outside clearing a path to the road, an unusually high pile of snow fell off of the roof suddenly. The mother and daughter were buried beneath nearly 10 feet of snow. When Mr. Tanaka returned later in the day, he saw that his wife and daughter were missing, and he immediately, as any loving father and husband would do, launched a desperate search for them. They were not found. The next morning, a work party clearing snow from around the Tanaka house heard a soft whimpering from a huge mound of snow right beside the house. Frantically, they began to dig towards the sound and discovered Mrs. Tanaka's frozen body curled around Izumi. Because of her motherly love, Tomiko Tanaka gave her own life to save Izumi's life. You see, it seems to me that one of the greatest gifts we get from our mothers, and I believe Timothy received from his mother and his grandmother, was this gift of love, this gift of sacrificial love and understanding it, this gift also of faith, a genuine, a sincere, an authentic faith, knowing that Jesus Christ is Lord and that He is present in all circumstances. Where did Timothy's steadfast faith and love come? Did it come from Paul? No. Oh, I believe he saw it evidenced in Paul, but that's not where he first learned it. Paul tells us exactly where he first learned it when he says, "For you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that same faith, their faith, the one that they shared with you, the one that they taught you, the one that they raised you up in, Timothy, I know it's their faith that continues to grow strong in you." You see, Timothy learned as a young child, it was as he saw this faith modeled out in his mother and his grandmother. Church, our greatest asset after Jesus Christ Himself, I believe, is our children. We have a responsibility to share our faith with them and to pass along to these young lives the truth of a Savior who loves them. It's the truth of a Savior who shows that love through the sacrificial gift of giving His life on a cross to pay for the sin of debt, the debt sin that we owe. I know that my faith, which ultimately had to become my own, and eventually it does for everyone, it was first anchored in my mother's faith. I believed because Mom believed. I believed because Mom showed with her whole heart this faith in a Savior who cared for her. It was she who was my example. And for many of us, that is the case. It is our mothers who first modeled a life of faith and a life of love. In a study last May by the Barna Research Group titled "The Powerful Influence of Moms in Christian Households," the study found this: practicing Christians in their teen years consistently identify mothers as ones who provide spiritual guidance and instruction and instill the values and disciplines of their faith in the household. What a great gift, but what an awesome responsibility. The study points out that moms are still the foremost partners in their children when it comes to their prayers, conversations concerning God, the Bible, as well as other faith questions. Barna states that this has remained constant through the years of research, showing that mothers are the managers of faith within their household structure, and we need to be thankful for our moms. And why is it? It's because they began to model it from day one in our lives. It is often mothers who first teach us to pray. We go to bed and they teach us that little prayer, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." Our moms teach us that. It's our mothers who often are the first ones to read us those Bible stories at bedtime. You know those stories. Adam and Eve, Noah and the Ark, David and Goliath. We first hear those from our mothers. They were the ones helping to set the foundation of Christ in our lives. Clearly, this was the case in Timothy's life, that Timothy's mom, Eunice, shared a love for the Scriptures that became his love for the Scriptures. In 2 Timothy 3, 14 and 15, we find Paul writing this concerning young Timothy. "But you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you." Who was it that taught him? His grandmother and his mother. You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. She instilled in him the love of the Scriptures. Notice Paul's words, from childhood he had been acquainted. His mom, Eunice, had taught him, had read to him the words of the Holy Scriptures. In that day it would have been the Torah and the Hebrew Bible. Paul would, in the very next few verses that follows this, would have told Timothy that those Scriptures that he has learned, the value that he learned through those Scriptures from his mom, that those Scriptures were God-breathed. They were faithful words. They were words that could be used for teaching, for rebuking, and for correcting, which I am sure she did in love with Timothy, and for the purpose of training in righteousness. I believe every bit of those things took place in Timothy's life at the hands of his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois. Listen to how Luke describes Timothy in Acts 16. Acts 16, 1 and 2 reads this way. "Paul went first to Derbe and then to Lystra, where there was a young disciple named Timothy." A young disciple, a follower of Jesus. His mother was a Jewish believer, a follower of Jesus. But his father was a Greek. Timothy was well thought of by the believers in Lystra and Iconium. Timothy was already a believer before Paul came to call him to be that protege that he would become. And that faith grew because of godly grandmother and a godly mother who spent time sharing the truth with Timothy. I can picture Timothy sitting on his mother and grandmother's lap and listening to those stories, those same stories we heard, the stories of Adam and Eve, of Noah and the Ark, of Moses, of David and Goliath. Stories who led to a faith in Yahweh and allowed Timothy to grow in his faith. And while Scripture does not record this, I am almost 100% positive that Eunice taught Timothy the importance of prayer, that she modeled prayer as central to her life, that many was the time that Timothy would lay in his bed only to hear Eunice on her knees in the far corner of their one-room house asking God to give her strength to be the example she needed to be the mother Timothy needed, the godly mother that Timothy needed, to guide and protect Timothy as he grew from childhood and faced difficulty of the teen years and ultimately ministry and everything that went on, to keep him from being led astray and into a life that would cause him only pain and sorrow. And I can almost assure you that if your mother is a godly mother, she has prayed similar prayers on your behalf. I also believe, although Scripture does not tell us this, that even after Paul took Timothy under his wing and Timothy began to travel with Paul, Eunice was at home on her knees praying for her son. You see, I've learned that as parents, we never stop worrying about or caring for our children. And that is certainly true of mothers. And so Lois and Eunice, I'm sure, prayed long and hard for Timothy. And God heard those prayers and he answered them. Timothy did not become the great hero of faith he was simply on his own. In the background was Eunice, this prayer warrior praying for her son. And many of us have had that same type of prayer warrior in our life, and that warrior is our mothers. Take, for example, the actor Denzel Washington as he shares about his mom. When I was a young and started really making it as an actor, I came and I talked to my mother. And I said, "Mom, did you think this was ever going to happen? I'd be so big, I'd be able to take care of everybody, and I can do this and I can do that." And Mama Washington reprimanded her son. "Oh, you did it all by yourself, huh? I'll tell you what you can do by yourself. Go outside and get a mop and a bucket and clean these windows. You can do that by yourself, superstar." She said, "Boy, stop it right there. Stop it right there. Stop it right there." She said, "If you only knew how many people been praying for you, how many prayer groups I put together, how many prayer talks I gave, how many times I splashed myself with holy water to save your sorry behind." That was a mother who was a prayer warrior. Jesus, in his ministry, as he prepared his disciples to take over his ministry, said a couple of things that would evidence the heart of those who love him, and I think is exemplified in mothers. The first is in Matthew 20, 26 through 28. It says, "Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And I don't know about you, but that is a wonderful picture for me of mothers. They don't think of self, they serve others. John 15, 13 says this, "There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friend." And mothers do that daily. They lay down their lives. They set themselves and their wants and their desires aside to care for their families and especially for their children. In a very real sense, this is what godly mothers model every day. They reflect Jesus Christ. Now, I recognize that we have not all been fortunate to have these type of mothers in our lives, and that there are many children and young people in this community of Monrovia, Indiana, that long for that type of person to be in their lives. Can you be that person? Can I be that person? Maybe not the mother, but a godly example for them. One of the greatest joys in mine and Cindy's life is the number of young people who affectionately refer to us as mom and dad. They're not ours by blood, and for many of them, they have godly parents, but we were those parents who were there to be that example when their parents couldn't be, and they affectionately referred to us as mom and dad. But there were also those whose lives came from broken homes and non-loving families who were loved by us and eventually called us mom and dad. The challenge for us today is to recognize that there are young people in this world, in this community, who are in need of that positive influence in their lives. Our mothers have given us the example of how to live and how to be that example for others. Are you and I willing to be that for each of them? To be that surrogate mother or grandmother, that surrogate father or grandfather, that godly example which speaks truth into their lives? I believe we have a great mission field, and it is with those young people who are hungering just to be loved and to have that godly example in their lives. And none give that greater example than our mothers. So are you willing today to take up that mantle for someone? Are you willing to say, I will be that for that individual? To be that surrogate that shares the love of Christ in our community. I want to bring this morning's message to an end with the words of a poem by Helen Steiner Rice as a tribute to honor all of our mothers and all of you who are listening today. A mother's love is something that no one can explain. It is made of deep devotion and of sacrifice and pain. It is endless and unselfish and enduring come what may, for nothing can destroy it or take that love away. It is patient and forgiving when all others are forsaking, and it never fails or falters even though the heart is breaking. It believes beyond believing when the world around condemns, and it glows with all the beauty of the rarest, brightest gems. It is far beyond defining, it defies all explanation, and it still remains a secret like the mysteries of creation. And many splendor miracle man cannot understand, and another wondrous evidence of God's tender guiding hand. Let's pray. Abba, Father, again we come and we just want to say thank you for blessing our lives with godly examples in our parents, and especially, Father, our mothers. Our mothers who from the very moment we enter this world exemplify the love of a Savior, the sacrificial love of giving up sleep and meeting every need of that crying infant. But it doesn't stop there. As we grow older, our mothers are there every step of the way, tirelessly being there to offer loves, to offer words of encouragement, to offer hugs. And Father, sometimes just to be on their knees as prayer warriors, as we struggle with decisions in our lives and we make mistakes or wrong calls. So Father, we honor them today. But we also come to say thank you for Jesus. We ask you to allow your message to speak to hearts, that they too may come to know the love of a Savior through the example of godly women. So Father, we give this day to you. And we ask all these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.